for the way we are stirred in our hearts by the very reading of this word, and we pray for mercy as we meditate, as we reflect upon, as we, Lord, focus on some aspects of this passage for the building up of the believers present here, for the stirring up of our desires and affections to have our hearts dedicated to you and to your kingdom. So under your mercy and grace, here we are in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Verse 9 reads, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap." Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap. For all the evil that is going around the world today to be mitigated and challenged, all that is needed is someone willing to do good. It is the absence of those agents of the kingdom of God, those agents of the goodness of the kingdom. It is their absence that allows, give room for evil to prosper. So as they multiply and they make themselves present in the world, they are God's agents, agents of God's kingdom, for good to prosper and to prevail. Goodness can't be truly found in any other but God. Real goodness can only emerge from a process that involves death and resurrection, death to self, in order to rise up a new creature or a new creation in Christ Jesus. Things that Paul talks about here in this passage. If I am in Christ, everything has become new. I am not denying the existence of relative goodness and acts of kindness in this world. I'm not saying that only Christians are capable of doing some good. Every human being is born with that ability to do some good. But when it comes to good that matters to God, good that matters to the kingdom of God, good that has a lasting and eternal weight of glory and effect, then, of course, not everybody is up to that. I think that they are important and even necessary if we continue pursuing peaceful lives in today's society. What most people ignore, though, is that the real fundamental source of all good in the entire universe is God. And therefore, God should not be mocked, says the passage, ignored. And the Spirit is the person to whom we invest the whole of our lives in order to walk in Him with the promise of not being disappointed in the end. We have to remember the words of Jesus Christ that says that the way is narrow and so is the gate. So Jesus never proposed to us an easy life. What He proposed to us as we apply our faith to Him and dedicate our lives to His kingdom and His service is that if we do that in response to His gospel call, in response to who we understand He is, the narrow way, even though with suffering, is the better way, is actually the best way. And we should be reminded of that. Let us not grow weary in doing good. Because doing good does not come without its perks, as it were. It has its troubles. Sometimes you want to do good in a society that wants to do evil, or to do a relative good that doesn't necessarily please God, promote His kingdom, bring glory to His name. A relative peace that ignores the peace that goes beyond all understanding. Peace divine, peace spiritual, and peace marked by the ruling of God in our hearts. People want quiet lives. Not many of them want a life with God, the giver of all peace, the source of all goodness. The Apostle James, he stated it very clearly with regards to the real source of good in the world. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. That's James chapter 1. In this passage, we have God's absolute goodness reaffirmed on one hand, and human goodness totally dependent on him for it to be expressed. In Paul's language, it is the equivalent to say that goodness will only be meaningful when I regard myself crucified to the world and the world to me. Verse 14. But far be from it to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The bearing of the marks of Jesus in verse 17 that Paul speaks of is in connection with our Lord's suffering on the cross, as well as with his resurrected body, which retained the scars of his punishment. So Paul says, from now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. He's joined together with Jesus, enduring the suffering that that ministry has caused him. But he's joined also together with Jesus in the assurance that as he looks upon the scars of Jesus Christ, he finds refreshment and strengthening for his own troubles and his own worries, knowing that as he has won, so will he, united in faith with him. I know that this is all symbolic language, but Paul recognized that when persecuted, he was having the privilege to share into Christ's sufferings, and when doing good, he would be showing evidence of this new creation, this new life, like the resurrected body of our Lord Jesus Christ, a new man with a new disposition in mind to love and obey God. Verse 15. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And we sing it occasionally in the church, don't we? But that's a reference to Paul writing to the Corinthians. I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God, I stand. And here, Paul says, I am a new creation. To have a new mindset, to have a new lifestyle, and to have a different boasting, not in my abilities, not in my religious assurances, but someone who can boast and boast on the cross of Christ, where the crucified paid it all, did it all, saved all his chosen ones, and he is in grateful dependence on what happened on the cross and through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because from the cross and the resurrected Christ comes the power for me to be a different person, no longer bound by rules and regulations of a dead letter, but supported and empowered by the living presence of Jesus Christ in his heart through the Spirit. And of course, Paul here, when he speaks about morality, when he speaks about goodness, he is touching upon the issue of morality. Remember that I've been reflecting on the issue of goodness. The church has been called to preach the gospel, so much so that a true sermon should make reference to Christ and his message either explicitly or implicitly. However, sometimes, and I should include myself, there is a reluctance to unpack the implications of the gospel. For instance, there is still a much greater emphasis on believing as being the altar call response than becoming a disciple of Jesus, who is the one who is with Jesus, the one who raised his hand, or the one who is walking with Jesus. And you know, and I know, so many who raised a hand, walked to the front, but you don't find them walking with the Master. Maybe emotionally moved, superficially touched, not truly aware of the depth of the calling. Jesus is calling disciples. More than raised hands or steps taken to the front, Jesus demands the uplifting of the whole of our lives, trusting and serving him. As Paul mentions that in Romans 12, verse 1, as he talks to his brothers and sisters in Rome to present their bodies as living sacrifice. As a disciple, I am called to learn and assimilate the contents of the faith I profess, the identity of my Savior, the plan of salvation, the truthfulness of his message, the truthfulness of the gospel and the whole of the Word of God, the realities of the presence of Christ through the Spirit of Christ living in me, with me, as well as with this body that we call the church, the body of Christ. And to go deep in the knowledge of these concepts, but also to go deep into how to apply these knowledges when we live before one another, when we live with each other, when we love each other. And when we respect the bond that unites us and understand it to be more stronger than whatever it is that could divide us. And that poses a question that draws us back to the passage. If God is good and if such goodness can only be shared because of what Christ offers me in terms of death and resurrection, death to an old former, to a former way of living and thinking, risen from the dead into a new way of life, Christ-like, how is God's goodness existing and growing in me? Let us read verse 10 again. Let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. In previous verses, Paul is talking about sowing and reaping. To cut it short, we are still living in a time when we need to sow. The end times hasn't arrived yet. The end days harvest hasn't come yet. Paul is exhorting them not to lose heart because at the proper time, we will reap a harvest. But of course, we need to be careful with what we are sowing. This message comes with a promise that those who sow to please the Spirit, and I'm reading here from NIV, to please the Spirit in verse 8, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Once faith is professed, faith in Jesus Christ and no other. When faith is professed, the sowing is done by acts of goodness. The sowing is done by practicing what I believe. Acts of goodness to all people, acts of goodness to those who are the family of believers. And that act of goodness includes good, and acts of goodness also including good, approved gospel teachers. The passage I haven't read, which is verse number 6. Do good to all of them. The greatest mistake of a leader is to think that he or she can take the whole world upon their shoulders. We have to remember that acts of goodness and kindness, they have a ripple effect. They have this wonderful blessedness from God to multiply it themselves in the hearts of those who receive our expressions of love, compassion, and goodness. When you share goodness, it multiplies. Glory be to God for that. They not only combat evil, but generate more goodness and respect. And Paul in Romans 12, 21, he will emphasize that. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Therefore, we should prioritize. Giving more attention to the family of believers. By giving more attention to the family of believers, we are not ignoring the needs of a world crying for help every day. What we do to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ empowers them to do the same. And that's how things should be done. And we become good neighbors, we become good husbands, we become good wives, good children, good citizens, and people who will always fight that temptation for omission. You know, have you ever felt tempted like that? It's not with me. It's an interesting thing, you know. Brazil is a different thing altogether. Walking around the island that I did every day when staying with my parents, there was an interesting event, you know. I was just walking. There was a lady on a bike. She felt dizzy and fell on the floor. She was nearly caught by a car, and I run towards her. Before me, there was another lady running faster. The guy with the car stopped, and we helped her, put her bike on the pickup truck that nearly caught her. The guy gave her a lift back home, and I could have just said, it's not my problem. I do not know why they did that. Because it's right? Because they believe in a God that would call them to do that? I don't know, but I understand why I had to do something. And it's interesting how she left blessing us. God bless you. Brazilians are more religious, so I'm not here to question how honest and how deep was that kind of blessings exchanged between her, the other woman, the guy, and myself, really wanting her, really desiring her to be blessed. But you have to understand how these things, they multiply and they cause a positive effect. They leave a positive impression, and that goodness tackles evil in whichever form it might appear. Therefore, let us continue to partake in various ministries, both locally and abroad as a church. Do not grow weary in doing good, in giving your money for all these causes that will highlight the name of Jesus Christ as the source of all good. To those who are poor in Africa and Asia, to those who are under the power of drugs and poverty just around the corner here in Dundee, to those who are spiritually blind in this wonderfully wealthy Middle Eastern country. And we keep sharing and sending and spreading through the means that are available to us, the goodness of Christ, because we are these new creation. As a church, we're called to continue with our support to the housebound, to the unemployed, and the sick. We should also consider how we could expand our help and support to those in need in our community. Should we do more about the issue of loneliness, particularly for those who are of a certain age? We should not forget our individual responsibility that works regardless of whether the church has a program or not. Hospitality, kindness, words of encouragement, admonitions in love, defending the weak and poor, being patient, unforbearing, being forgiving. Those who don't believe in Jesus do good, envisaging only immediate social transformation, and of course, that wonderful feel that you have when you do the right thing. To do good is always rewarding, isn't it? Even when you're not a believer in Jesus Christ. But some people will do good for the sake of that. As Christians, we go beyond. We do good for the sake of He who is our Lord and Savior, for His glory, the good of His people. Willing for His kingdom to be fully manifested, for us to see and enjoy the fullness of the goodness of His character with us. Those who believe in Christ are foreseeing the coming and fostering the coming of God's kingdom, actively waiting for His arrival. To do good is to sow in the Spirit. Another of those things that don't look like spiritual at first sight. Therefore, do not get tired of doing it. The Lord promises that in due time, we will reap. What is it that we will reap? The return of that act of goodness? No. Peace of mind, a clean and clear conscience, because instead of choosing omission, we decided to act accordingly and help whoever was in need in the name of Jesus Christ? No. I'm not saying these are wrong, but I'm just saying that the passage is not saying that that's what we are going to reap. We will reap eternal life. That's what the passage is saying. And of course, I'm not here towards the end of Galatians preaching salvation by works. But isn't that interesting that people make such a fuss between Paul with faith and James with work, and how at the end of Galatians, Paul and James walk hand in hand as both preach freedom in Christ, salvation through grace, and the power of the Spirit at work in the believer's heart to make them walk and to practice acts of goodness, bearing fruit, sowing the good seed, waiting for the harvest in order to reap eternal life. Let us pray.